Coming to you live from the Morningstar Mission Sponsor Studios, this is Carl and Crew Mornings on 90.1 FM Moody Radio.
We're in Holy Week. This entire week, we're walking through the chronology of the events and the teachings of Jesus. And today, we're going to focus on something very different here. There was not a lot of activity that's recorded in the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And even in the Gospel of John, we don't see any events that stand out on Wednesday of Holy Week. So you might say, well, what was Jesus doing? Well, we get a greater indication of the work of Jesus that's documented in the book of John. What's beautiful about John is that this book was written that we might believe, and that we might believe and come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. That's what we find at the latter part of John, we find that these words were written, according to John, that you would believe, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Now, here's the really cool thing about the Gospel of John that some of you may not know. Chapter 13, verse 1, all the way through the back part, 17:26. These are all words that were spoken or acts that were done in the presence of the apostles. There is no indication that the disciples were actually there was no indication that anyone beyond the disciples was in the audience. It's written by John, who was one of the 12. But it's super insightful. And when we see that the Gospel of John was written that we may believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and that by believing we may have life in his name, this is what we got to remember here this morning. This belief is not some intellectual thing. Belief is a faith step initiated by God and followed through on by us. So if you look at belief like, oh, okay, the Gospel of John, it's a book on apologetics, is how you can know who Jesus was, we're going to miss it. But if you can begin to look at the Gospel of John as what I would consider to be the greatest discipleship book in the entire Bible, now you're going to make some headway. Now, why would I say that? Because we see servanthood in chapter 13, washing of feet. We see the promise of the Holy Spirit, the crushing of the disciples when they find out that Jesus isn't going to set up his kingdom on earth right now, and he's going to prepare a place for him. And they're like, hey, where in the heck are you going? And he says, listen, I'm going away. I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's in chapter 14. And then following those words in chapter 14, we find the promise of the Holy Spirit that's going to be coming. And the Comforter is going to come. And then it gets into John 15. He says, I'm the vine, you're the branch. You abide in me, you'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. It's to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. And then in John 16, we find the work of the Holy Spirit. So he's introduced the Holy Spirit, and then we find a teaching on this vineyard illustration that is unbelievable, and we'll touch on that today. But then we find something that I'm going to be talking about with Sam Storms here at 6:30-ish or so today that you're going to want to be here for. How does the Holy Spirit communicate with us? It is vital that you understand that the Holy Spirit is speaking. More than little nudges or bumps or hints or ponderings, a deep spiritual notion, best way to interpret that word speak, will be given us. And oftentimes we sell short what Jesus wants to do and what he spoke when he talked about the power of the Holy Spirit. We're going to clarify that today, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Coming up here in a couple of minutes, John Aiello is going to be with us. We've got a really cool gift for you this Easter week. Excuse me, this Holy Week. We've got a really cool gift for you, and we're going to talk about it. That's coming up in just a couple of minutes. You're going to want to keep it right here, guys. The thief on the cross, one of the greatest icons of hope for mankind. We'll talk about it with John Aiello coming up.
Your shot of hope to make it through the day. It's Carl and Crew Mornings.
He didn't walk down an aisle. He didn't put a hand in the air. There was no time for baptism. But Jesus looked at him and said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Oof, got chills even thinking about that narrative. John Aiello is with me right now, executive director for Open the Bible. What a story, huh, John?
Yeah, Carl, it is absolutely one of the greatest stories that we can ever read about the extraordinary transformational power of grace. And it's just so such a joy to be able to share it with folks this this Holy Week.
I know you're the right-hand man of big dog Colin Smith. What got him thinking this way? He wrote a book about it, and we've got a movie. Hang on, Boom Crew, you're going to get a link here in a moment. But what got him thinking this way?
Yeah, you know, as you see with Pastor Colin, you know, Carl, folks who preach God's word, it all comes down ultimately to grace and the extraordinary unmerited gift that we got at the cross. And Colin's always been moved by this story. Anyone who's heard it candidly is moved by this story.
Yep.
And just to hear, you know, in his voice, the joy of even preaching many years ago about this thief and the little we know about him in Luke 23. We knew that there was something more to this story to bring to people in some creative and different ways. And so I'm just grateful the Lord put it on his heart and grateful to have been along for the ride.
What are some of the stories that you've heard come out of this? They're overwhelming, aren't they, John?
Oh, they sure are. Carl, they're not only overwhelming, but they're global. It's interesting. There's sort of two flavors of stories. We hear from believers, people who've put their faith in Christ and been walking with him, how hearing and watching this story, in particular this film we'll talk about, has reignited their faith just to see the power of what Jesus did on the cross. But importantly, people have been inspired praying as they're watching about people in their lives who need to hear this message as well. People
yes.
who, you know, might know of God, know of Jesus, but are trying so hard to earn their way into heaven. And this thief story blows that out of the water. This guy didn't, as you said, right?
He didn't walk
down an aisle. He didn't raise his hand up in the air. Carly had his hands nailed to a cross. He couldn't do good works. And yet it's unequivocally clear he was with Jesus that very day in paradise. So the stories are amazing. Praise the Lord. I don't know that we'll know half of them before we get to heaven ourselves, but it's just a joy to put it out there and let the Holy Spirit do his work.
What's your hope for this? And I know that it's a standalone. People can watch this, and we're going to ask people to forward it around. And this link that we're going to give you in a moment here, Boom Crew, they're making available to you and the Boom Crew here this week only, at no charge. And that's a huge blessing. I know people can share this, but who might someone share it with? I guess the biggest ranked skeptic out there, right? This is a miracle of grace.
Absolutely. I think it's the skeptic. It's so clear in the story of what happened. Carl, honestly, my prayer is that people challenge themselves to think about someone in their life who actually maybe knows God, maybe isn't even skeptical, but who just misses grace, right? Who doesn't
Boom.
Understand.
Yes.
You know, the heaven is not a – we don't get to heaven based on what we do or don't do. You know, it's based on what Jesus did and the finished work of the cross. And don't worry about where they go to church. If they go to church, worry about helping them understand whose work it was that mattered, Carl. That's my prayer for it. And I had, as you know, Carl, a story of sharing it with my dad many years ago and watching my dad, somebody that fell into those categories, come to faith from the story. And you just never know who the Lord will put on your heart. But I challenge folks, and my prayer is that they just pray as they're watching it, and it is all for free. That someone, you know, jumps into their heart at the top of the line to share this with and start a conversation.
Well, you know, grace is defined in a lot of different ways. I encapsulate this way, that it's God's power to do in us what we can't do in ourselves. And John, that's the thief on the cross. He captures this better than any other person in history. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, think of the transformation. I mean, we learn when you put the Gospels together, this guy was railing at Jesus, right? Ridiculing him, you know, joining in with the crowds, perhaps, of yelling, spitting, being angry. And suddenly a transformation happens that couldn't have happened on his own, right?
Yeah.
And somewhere in his heart, he finds this need to confess, right, and turn to Jesus and acknowledge him as king and ask him to remember him. And then sit by and think, you know, no way is this if this is God, is he going to accept me? No, the Lord says unequivocally, today you'll be with me in paradise. What a strange character to enter into paradise with heaven that very day, with Jesus that very day. And so, yeah.
An interesting thought here before I let you go. I've always thought, okay, this guy went from 0 to 60 in like 2 seconds. Okay, God transformed him so much so. He stood up for Christ against the other mocking thief in ways that a lot of us don't do in 40 years here stateside.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. The amazing journey from justification to some rapid pace of sanctification, and to find the guts to, stand up to the other thief, and probably to some of the people railing on Jesus, Pharisees.
Right.
Holy people, if you will. So, yeah, we can learn a lot from this guy, and it's such a gift that Scripture gives us in such a short amount of verses.
It's so stunning. I mean, imagine this. In one moment, you're lost, you're spitting, you're angry. Now you're saved, going to paradise, and you're yelling at another thief, "We deserve this, you idiot. He did nothing."
Yep.
It's just an astounding story. Oh, you got me fired up here, John, for crying out loud. Hey, thanks for coming. Thanks for coming in here today. I love you, man. And, man, you're a good communicator, Aiello. You need to get out on the circuit, my man. Yeah, you're pouring it out. Appreciate you. Boom Crew, listen, this is the link that we got for you. Text heaven right now, heaven. Is that right, Super Die?
Yes, but want to give the full name of the movie.
Full name of the movie.
Yes.
Sure, we can do that. Please. Heaven, How I Got Here, A Night with the Thief on the Cross. Heaven, How I Got Here, A Night with the Thief on the Cross. That's the title of the movie. And we've got a link for you for no charge. I want you to text right now, heaven, to 312-274-9624. Heaven to 312-274-9624. I'm going to give it to you one more time. Some of you have never texted here before. This is the time. Text heaven to 312-274-9624. Wow. What a time. Props to John Aiello. This guy's a communicator. You know that, Super Die?
Definitely.
You kidding me?
Good friend, too, of the show.
Yeah, a great friend of the show. All right, coming up, minute and a half, we'll tell you where we're going. We're going to be talking in the book of John today. Actually, Sam Storm's going to be with me here at the bottom of the hour, talking about the power of the Holy Spirit and how he speaks.
Waking you up with adrenaline and Jesus. We're Carl and Crew Mornings.
Coming up here in a couple of minutes, we got Dr. Sam Storms with us. We're going to be talking about the voice of the Holy Spirit and why this teaching by Jesus, probably Wednesday, Thursday of Holy Week, probably Wednesday. There was not a lot of activity publicly, but there was a lot of teaching going on with his disciples. And from chapter 13 of John all the way through the end of chapter 17, all that swath of teaching is captured right there. And it would have been spoken during Holy Week to his disciples. The focal point, the coming of the Holy Spirit. We're going to break it down with Dr. Sam Storm straight ahead.
Start your day moving closer to Jesus. You're listening to Carl and Crew Mornings.
The greatest way to move closer to Jesus, according to Jesus, is to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit and listen to his voice. Dr. Sam Storm's with me right now, founder and president of Enjoying God Ministries, serves on the Council of the Gospel Coalition. And here's what's important, Boom Crew, and I want you to get this. We are going to give you a link at the end of our interview here that is going to give you a direct connect to one of his books, Understanding Spiritual Gifts, A Comprehensive Guide, and a link to his website, everything all in one. We hadn't made this link before, but there's going to be a couple thousand of these things go out here today. So I'm asking you to storm storms. That's what I'm asking you to do. Storm the gates. And we're going to have a lot of fun here today. Well, Dr. Sam Storms, it's good to have you with me on this Holy Week. Boy, what a week, and what an amazing thing we see in the Gospel of John. The teaching cited that he gave the disciples all the way, it looks like, from John 13 through John 17, and in it is the best exposition on the power of the Holy Spirit. Right, Sam?
Absolutely. Yeah, you can imagine how the disciples must have been feeling, seeing that the time had arrived when Jesus was going to leave them. If I were there, I would have been crushed, depressed, frightened, And yet Jesus reassures them with the promise that another helper, another one just like him, will come once he leaves. The Father will send the Spirit to encourage them, to teach them. He tells them so very clearly. He said, he will be with you forever. He will never depart. He's the thing that makes it amazing. He says he's with you now, but he will be in you.
Yes.
So this promise of Jesus to the disciples obviously must have really bolstered their spirits and really have strengthened them to face what was coming.
A lot of us were raised in faith traditions that we heard the warnings of the Holy Spirit from 1 Corinthians, but we never heard the core teachings of the Holy Spirit from John 14 and John 16. Why do we need to come back here from your perspective, Sam?
For the simple fact, and I don't know if people realize this, everything that we know about God the Father, his nature, his character, his purposes, his love, his justice, we owe to the Holy Spirit. Everything we know about Jesus, having come to faith in him, everything we know about his redemptive work on the cross, we owe to the Holy Spirit. Whatever degree that any of us have experienced a transformation in our hearts to become more like Jesus, we owe to the Holy Spirit. Whatever encouragement that we've ever had during hard times, we owe to the Holy Spirit. Whatever strength we receive when we feel weak, this is the work of the Holy Spirit in us. So it's simply impossible for us to neglect the person and the work of the Spirit. Everything that we have is due to his sovereign supernatural work in our souls. The fact that we are able to persevere in the midst of hard times. I mean, Paul talks in Colossians 1 about striving with all God's power that is at work within him. Well, that's a reference to the Spirit of God. So obviously, this teaching, this promise that Jesus gave in John 14, 15, and 16 is so very, very relevant, not only for them, but for us today.
Yeah, in the context, when I was back in seminary, it's a classic statement, any text out of context is pretext. But the context of this story is, you just said it, Sam, their hearts are crushed because he just announced to them he's going away. Then he says, the world's going to hate you because it hated me. But in the middle of all this, he's saying, but a comforter will come, and this comforter will guide you into all truth. The power of the Holy Spirit to not only overcome the world, but to live out John 15 to bear much fruit. You can't separate those, can we, Sam?
No, we can't. And in fact, just think about this. The very reality that you and I are experiencing right now, reading Scripture, understanding it, being encouraged by what is revealed there, again, is the work of the Spirit. This is the truth that Jesus said he would bring to us. He inspired every syllable in both the Old and the New Testaments. And to acknowledge or to fail to acknowledge his presence and his power in us in fulfillment of the promise of Jesus would be absolutely self-contradictory. We're saying, well, I read the Bible to understand that I really don't need the Spirit, when in fact it's the Spirit who inspired the Bible to tell us that we desperately need his presence and power.
Amen. Okay, Boom Crew, coming up here in just a moment, more with Sam Storms. We're going to talk about this verse. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak according to his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you. Speak, declare. The question is, how does he speak? We'll discuss that coming up.
Helping you take the next step in your walk with Jesus. This is Carl and Crew Mornings.
And I have a link for you here in a moment, Boom Crew, and I'm asking you by the thousands to get this link. I'm asking you to tap into the resources that we're going to get you linked up with Dr. Sam Storms. I'm so excited, I have to calm my heart here. These are important conversations, Boom Crew. Boy, I'm getting emotional here. Sam, we need to talk about the power of the Holy Spirit and the fact that he is speaking. What are we missing in many Bible churches, evangelical churches, evangelical institutions, when we neglect to wrestle with what does it mean when the Holy Spirit speaks?
Well, the preeminent way in which he speaks is through the word that he inspired. So the apostles were promised by Jesus. He said, when he comes, he will bring you into remembrance of all that I have said, and he will lead you into all truth. So the primary voice of the Spirit of God is through the written word of God. every time, every syllable that we read in Scripture, we ought to hear the voice of the Spirit talking to us. But he also speaks in other ways. For example, in Romans 8, the Spirit has been given to us, and he is the means or the power by which we cry, Abba, Father, and he bears witness to our spirit that we are the children of God. So one of the ways, not the only way, but one of the primary ways that I can have the assurance that I am a child of God and that he will never leave me nor forsake me is the convicting work of the Spirit in my heart, bearing witness to me that, yes, Sam, you are a child of God. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And, of course, I also happen, and this is a controversial point, I do believe that the Spirit of God leads and guides us and prompts us in various ways throughout the course of our life. I mean, think, for example, in Acts chapter 16, where Paul is on his missionary journey, and we're told that he was trying to go into Asia, and he was forbidden by the Holy Spirit. And they tried to go into Mysia and into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So here's the Spirit speaking to Paul, no, don't go there, no, don't go there. And then a man of Macedonia, probably an angelic visitation, said, come over into Philippi. Paul obeys it, bursts the church there, and of course his missionary journeys follow. So the Spirit of God speaks primarily through the written word, but he also, I believe, can speak into our hearts to provide promptings and guidance in emergency situations. I mean, it's interesting, all through the book of Acts, we read that when the apostles were faced with moments of crisis,
yes,
or people that were paralyzed or blind or opposing them, and it says, having been filled with the Spirit, they spoke, they healed, they delivered the gospel message about Jesus. So there was that immediate, desperate need for his presence and power, which was always faithfully fulfilled in the fulfillment of the promise of Jesus.
Okay, Sam, correct me if I'm wrong, but when I go into a meeting at times, I will hear from the Spirit. Oftentimes, it's fewer words are better here, Carl. Or this is a moment to speak the truth in love. I'll be driving home, and I'll hear the Spirit of God speak, and it'll be words like, love your bride as Christ loved the church. Sam, this is how the Word with the Spirit works, is it not? He works in board meetings. He works with pulpiteers that are up presenting the Word of God. You've heard the Spirit speak on the fly, have you not, Sam?
Oh, yes, I have. And it is unmistakable. And, of course, everything that the Spirit says or prompts will be consistent with what he's already revealed in Scripture. So that's an important lesson for people to know. If at any time you think that the Spirit of God has prompted your heart or made an impression upon you or told you something, you test it by the infallible Scriptures. And if it's not consistent with what we find there, that's not the Spirit of God. That's last night's pizza. That's, your own fleshly desires.
Yes.
So the Spirit never speaks out of two sides of his mouth. Everything he says conforms to what he has revealed to us in Scripture.
Okay, one last thing, and I had this crazy thing hit me, because I have people ask me all the time, well, does the Holy Spirit speak audibly? And I've wrestled with that, and I've come to the conclusion, no, and it would be a problem. And this was my point, and I'm in an experiment right now, so I'm talking with you right now, Sam, and we're having a dialogue.
And then the Kennedy Expressway is
really
backed
up, so I'm
trying to help people and help them with that.
So here's what I was explaining. I used that illustration last week, Sam. No, it's better than an audible voice. The original language in this verse says that there's a deep spirit notion that the Spirit of God gives us, consistent with the Word of God. I've had an epiphany that, no, it's not audible. That would almost be confusing. That would break the natural law that God's put in place. It's stronger than that, Sam. It's these promptings that guides us into the truth of God along the way in conversations and even as we're on air here, Sam. Is that awesome?
It is. And people often ask me, Sam, have you ever heard the audible voice of the Spirit? And I say, no, I haven't. I don't feel like I've been deprived of anything. I feel like the Spirit is faithful to do exactly what Jesus said he would do, to lead us into all truth. But I wouldn't rule out altogether and say it's utterly impossible and under no circumstances would the Spirit ever,
sure,
never again speak audibly.
Yes.
I have to leave open that door, but people need to realize that if it does happen, it is extremely rare. It's not normative. If the Lord thinks that I need to hear his audible voice, I'm sure he will speak loudly to me. But I don't think that that is something that we need to wait upon or think that somehow if we haven't heard it, that somehow we're sub-Christian or God doesn't love us as much as he loves others. So the audible voice of God was very, very rare, even in New Testament times. I don't know, we could probably count on one hand the number of times that the Spirit of God spoke. For example, in Acts 8, it said the Spirit of God told Philip to go up into that chariot to witness to that Ethiopian. We don't know how he told him that.
Right.
We don't know if Philip heard an audible voice. I doubt it. My guess is that Philip felt that compelling presence of the Spirit. There's a man there who's reading the Bible. Go up and tell him the gospel. So people need to realize if they're living and waiting for the Spirit to speak audibly, they need to put that on pause and just give thanks for the way the Spirit does communicate with us through his word.
Boom. Dr. Sam Storms, thank you. I know that you're up against another appointment. I really appreciate you coming in here, Sam. I truly do,
brother. My pleasure. Anytime.
Boom Crew, I want you to get this link right now. If you would just text the word STORM to 312-274-9624. We're going to make this Sam's marker here on our show, Dr. Sam Storms. Just text the word STORM. In this little link, you're going to have a link to his book that is wonderful, Understanding Spiritual Gifts, A Comprehensive Guide, and a link to his website, samstorms.org. So it's all right there. Text the word STORM to 312-274-9624. Text STORM to 312-274-9624. We are in Holy Week. This has been one of the most beautiful rides we can have together, Boom Crew. Looking at the words and the deeds of Jesus leading up to his crucifixion and ultimately his resurrection. Text the word STORM to 312-274-9624.
Coming to you live from the Morningstar Mission Sponsored Studios, this is Carl and Crew Mornings on 90.1 FM Moody Radio.
We're in Holy Week, the week leading up to the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The power of the resurrection, oh my goodness, conquer fear, confidence about your future, to be empowered to live a victorious life. To be able to recognize and overcome evil, the power to change, the power of victory in your life. But most importantly, the resurrection of Christ is the only assurance that we can be born again. If he did not rise from the dead, Paul said, we're to be pitied more than all men. But he rose from the dead, and he reveals that by the power of his Spirit to you today. Now, the great illusion of salvation is on this broad path that Jesus spoke of. He says it's a broad path that leads to eternal destruction, and many are on it. What's on this broad path? When I was a kid growing up, I thought the broad path was those that were involved in abhorrent behavior. But it's more than that. It's filled with addicts, corporate ladder climbers, and very religious people. Religious people. Church-going people. People that have memorized verses. Why? Because there's an attempt on the broad path to somehow earn standing with God. Some on the broad path have no interest in God unless the Holy Spirit pulls down those blinders. And the veil comes down, and then they see the reality of their need for God. Jesus was speaking during Holy Week to his disciples, and he says, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm going to come again, and I'm going to take you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Thomas asked a great question. Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? This is what Jesus said. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Do you hear that? You hear how definitive that is? No one. No one comes to the Father except through me. And he said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. So I'm just going to ask you this morning, are you willing to be honest to God in this moment and honest with yourself enough to take an account? I don't care if you're driving, you're at home, you're in an office. No matter where you are in this moment, I'm going to ask you three questions. Number one, are you on the way with Jesus or have you still gone your own way? There are religious people who are on a broad path that leads to destruction. How do I know this? Jesus said, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord. And he's going to say, I never knew you. And their appeal, according to Matthew 7, is going to be, but Lord, we cast out demons in your name. We preached in your name. And we did many mighty works in your name. And he's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. It's not only possible, it's probable for many people to have an illusion of salvation, thinking that they're on the narrow way with Jesus, but really they're just religiously active on the broad path that leads away from Jesus. Don't be one of those who God says, I never knew you. He said, I am the way. And until we repent from the broad path, turn around and give him our all, do we enter the narrow path that leads to life. Even the power to give our all to him is brought to you by the power of the Holy Spirit. He gives you the strength to say no to my way and yes to the way of life. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth. You know what Jesus is inviting you to do today? To stop living a lie and start walking in the truth. To face the reality that your biggest enemy on this earth is staring you in the mirror every morning. The truth that apart from him, you can do nothing. The truth that unless you are born again, the truth that unless you believe that Jesus died for your sins and have an active belief, you will continue to walk in a lie. And you can beautify that lie. You can religiousize that lie. You can try to be good and still live a lie. But today, I'm inviting you as Jesus did 2,000 years ago. Are you willing to go his way and walk in the truth? He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. And the beautiful payoff here, my friend, is that Jesus is holding out to you a cup of water that will never run dry, much like he offered the woman at the well in Samaria. And you're trying to quench your thirst with all the things of this world, the worries of this world, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desire for other things. And I'm telling you, your thirst will never be quenched until you humble yourself under God's mighty hand and surrender your life to Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man, no woman can come to the Father but through me. I know. You hadn't expected to hear from the Holy Spirit what you're hearing in your heart right now. But you're hearing it's time to go God's way, not your own anymore. It's time to stop living a lie and to walk in the truth. And it's time to drink deep of the refreshing relationship with Jesus Christ. So my question to you today is simple. Are you ready? Are you ready? Is today your day? It's a simple question I have for you. Are you ready to repent of your sins and to acknowledge the truth that you're a sinner and you need a Savior, and His name is Jesus? Are you willing to leave the broad path and turn around and follow Jesus? Repent. Are you willing to recognize that the one who rose from the dead on Sunday is alive today to give you life? And if that's you, I want you to pray with me right now and just say, Jesus, I believe you died for my sins. Thank you. I am willing to embrace the truth. I'm a sinner, and I admit it. And I receive the gift of life. Just tell him that. Jesus, today, I want to admit to you, I've been going my way, and I'm not going my way any longer. Today, I turn and follow Jesus. And today, Jesus, I'm ready to drink deep of life that you offer. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know what's amazing, my friend? This is what's really cool about God. You see, the Father sent His Son Jesus to earth. Jesus went on and left the Holy Spirit behind. The Holy Spirit came to convict us. And this conviction is sobering, it's humbling, and it's life-giving. And to those of you that are brand new in Jesus today, I want to help you in your first steps with Him. Practically. I am so excited to give you a resource right now if you've never before surrendered your life to Jesus. But this Holy Week, this Wednesday, today, you heard the words of Jesus, and you're going His way, you're stopping living a lie, and you're ready to drink real life in Jesus Christ. I want you to text the word new to me right now, and I'm going to send a link to you that's going to have other embedded links that are going to help you find a good Bible, find a good church, and we're going to send you a resource on that third link embedded in this link I'm going to send you. We're going to send you a resource that's going to help you. We're going to send it physically to your home. I don't care where you're at in the United States or even beyond. We're going to send it to you. Text the word new right now to 312-274-9624. New. Just the word new right now. Wherever you are, grab your phone. Today is the day. This Holy Week, God is making all things new. Just text the word new to 312-274-9624. New to 312-274-9624. Just that one word, new. Just send them in right now. Right now. Today's a new day. 312-274-9624. I'll shout out the last four numbers of your telephone number here in just a minute and a half or so. Text new to 312-274-9624. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Today, the Holy Spirit's revealed that to you, and you are walking in Jesus. You are brand new. And I'm here to help you. Text new to 312-274-9624.
Whether it's number 1 or 100, take that step with Jesus today. You're listening to Carl and Crew Mornings.
Well, how are you taking your first step with Jesus today? I'm going to shout out some numbers. Praise God for every one of you, man. When the Holy Spirit begins to work in our life and convict us of sin, of going the wrong way, living a lie, and not tasting life, the offer is held out before you today, and I want to welcome you to the family. If you're just responding to God right now and you're getting to a safe place or grabbing your phone, just anytime, just text the word new. If today is your day of salvation, text the word new, and we've got a link that is going to really help you. And I want you to use every Link Connect that you receive back from us, and we'll give you some guidance as to your first steps with Jesus in this link. Welcome to the family, 5042, 2016, 5775, 0453-7368. These are brand new in Jesus this morning. 9330-2786. 0529-2272-4746. 9277-4940-6433-1693-0079. Welcome to the family. Welcome to the family. Welcome to the family. The grace of God can reach anyone, even up to the 11th hour. The thief on the cross proves it.
Start your day moving closer to Jesus. You're listening to Carl and Crew Mornings.
Yeah, so grateful for what God is doing in your hearts this morning. I want to shout out the last four numbers of some awesome men and women. Who knows where you are, but God knows, He sees, and He has never been closer to you than this moment. Last four numbers of those just surrendering their life to Jesus today: 8835, 3196, 4042, 6909, 2425, 5122, 9464, 2488, 3810, 2622, 1453, 0570, 4663, 9931, 5222, 9344, 4244, 4918, 5933, 7866, 6660. Welcome to the family, to all of you. And 7004 just came in. Welcome to the family, to each and every one of you. God is at work in your hearts, and it is beautiful. When you grab that link, open it up, spend some time digging through it. We've got resources in there that are going to help you go and grow with God. Use every one of them. And we're praying for you. We love you. We really do. In this holy week, God is saving souls. That's what He does. Welcome to the family, 5042, 2016, 5775, 0453, 7368. These are brand new in Jesus this morning. 9330, 2786, 0529, 2272, 4746, 9277, 4940, 6433, 1693, and 0079. Welcome to the family. Welcome to the family. Welcome to the family. The grace of God can reach anyone, even up to the 11th hour. The thief on the cross proves it. Hey, this is Carl with Carl and Crew, and I'm so grateful that you listen to this showcast. Thank you mostly for being part of the Boom Crew. As we help you take your next step with Jesus, you're a huge encouragement to us. We'll be here again live every weekday morning from 5 to 9 a.m. Godspeed.